ought not to be that comfortable with one another if it's to be an exciting community. There was much emphasis on similarity. You know, are they alike? Will we fit together? It was as though we were constructing one of these utopian communities, and that was what some people had in mind, and that that has plagued, I think, the arts and sciences part of the organization for some time. We set out from the beginning, however, in the professional studies, to try to find people from the world of work of that profession. We tried to bring people in with a practical bent in those areas, and you may recall there was a great deal of early emphasis on cooperative education, trying to get the students placed in a work situation that was compatible with their intellectual development. Problem with that, there aren't many places around here. It's a rather removed area. But we did initially in the professional areas go very much to people who were working in that field, and not so much for people who had simply good academic credentials in business or criminal justice and nursing or whatever it might be. That has had varied success also, but we were, I think, a little more inclined to try to deal with the world as it existed for the professional studies. In the arts and sciences, we were somewhat inclined to try to create a highly unique, special world at the very outset. But that has given way, I think, to people who may be more interested in another aspect of the college's development, and that has to do with more traditional discipline orientations. You know, we lost the interdisciplinary flavor in many areas and minimized it in others, because that's hard work. Being interdisciplinary, it's much easier to be discipline oriented. And I think I said to faculty in the early meetings, in the first year and two, you know, if, in terms of our stance of being imaginative in our work, being challenged from the outside, you know, as Pogo says, you know, we've met the enemy and we are they, or they are us, or something. Right. You know, the enemy, if you like, in those terms, is not outside of the college. There are no people out there really saying, do this or don't do that or don't teach this way or that. Those are, you know, false boogeymen. They're all here inside of this place who are in their terms of saying, well, I want it to be the way I learned it. I want it to be the way I experienced it. And they want an extrapolation of their past. And I said at the outset, don't worry about the state. You know, worry about yourself changing this place.
What's your sense, having looked at the development of the college during the time that you've been here, Dick, in terms of the survivability of that reasonably demanding set of expectations to do some work outside your discipline, to reward people who are willing to work hard and turn over people who can't take the heat and can't stand the strain. Do you think the college has managed to maintain that and over the long haul will be able to, or do you think the internal pressure for more structure, more stability, more tradition in terms of disciplinary orientation, that eventually creeping structure is going to end all of this?
Well, I think, you know, the story of human organizations tends to be along the line that you're talking about. I, you know, hate to be the person who has to say that I have no confidence, whether it be the medical or legal or academic profession, that left alone they can manage the house for the maximum public interest. They'll manage the house for the maximum personal and self-interest. That's a terrible thing to have to admit and to say. And as a consequence, you know, left to their own regulatory devices, human beings, us included in this community, are bit by bit going to put in places things that, first of all, we truly believe in, and that we believe in them, so if someone comes along and says, I think it's not very good, we get angry about that because we believe in them. Remember, every radical, you know, revolutionary, the first moment that his revolution gets installed is conservative, sure, and is a defender of the status quo. It's impossible to be a continuous revolutionary. You're the one who teaches this course. It's, you know, it cannot be done. And so if you get your way, you're now a conservative, because you have to conserve what you got. And so it's inevitable that will build up. Now there are theories about cycles. You know, it'll build up to a point, and like Harvard has just now gone back to its general education program, and now they're going to be in another cycle. Organizational dynamics are certainly cyclical. But my, you know, argument from the beginning, and it's in all my interviews with people and papers, say the biggest problem is to maintain internally a dynamic institution. That's the hardest thing to do. Therefore, I get into the unpleasant posture of saying the top administration or management of the college, whatever you want to call it, has got to play the role of, if you want to put it nicely, I talk about ventilation and opening the windows, you know, getting the new ideas coming in. They've got to play the role of imposing constraints on people that force choices they wouldn't make otherwise. And most of us won't make choices. And you've heard me tell you, you're sick of it, saying the business is choosing between good and good and not good and bad. And anyone can choose between good and bad. It doesn't take anything to do that. But now let me confront you with the fact that all of these are good things, and we're only going to do one of them. Now get on with choosing one of these things. And you know what happens at this juncture. Everyone weasels and finds new words and the like. And so ultimately, you know, one reason I've argued that you need to have an administration that is decisive, one of the things, is someone better make the choice. And I have never shied away from saying this is the choice, it's going to be done on this schedule, it's going to be done this way. Now let's get on with it. And if next go around we want to change it, which I think we've demonstrated also, we'll change it. But quit, you know, just trying to massage this to death. As you know, the college has had a lot of emphasis on everything must be done within a year's sort of framework. Nothing can carry over to the next year in terms of making a decision. You get that decision made, and then we'll go work with it and the like, and that's it. So I think, you know, if you don't have top administration that's willing to be very unpopular, you're going to have difficulty achieving what I think you're talking about here and maintaining the kind of posture. Because, listen, no one comes to my office to say, I shouldn't say no one, one or two people have stumbled in, to say, it's a nice day and you're doing a good job. They come in and say, you are an idiot, and why did you do this awful thing, and why don't you stop doing this, and if, you know, how did you get this job? I had one student come in the other day, and he was angry about not being able to register at a certain time, and he said, I don't know how you got this job. I said, I don't either, I just fell into it. He says, I believe that. He ran out of the room. So no one friendly very often comes to see you. And if that's bothersome to the people who are deans and vice presidents and presidents and that sort of thing, they probably should not be in the business, because this is not a loving kind of community. And I know you've had your critical comments along the way at various points, but my interest has been on, you know, the impact on institutions, which is not a popular position, not on the people.
Do you think it can be maintained? You know, a lot of your views on this are in writing, and they're reflected in the personnel process, which is demanding, which has student evaluation of teaching, and says that each time you move up the step in rank, you ought to be better, not the same, and time isn't enough. And it's a reasonably demanding document. I think we could agree on that. You've had to work with it now, Dick, for a number of years, and work with other people in the institution at levels below yours with that kind of a document. The same kind of animated discussion has taken place with respect to the limitation on tenure. Having dealt with that over a period of time, and having dealt not only with the union, whose position on this is perhaps predictable, but having dealt with other administrators, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the chances for maintaining that kind of a demanding code and the liveliness which you've argued grows from it after you depart? What are the percentage chances within the administration, within the realm of the average academic administrator, not to mention the union, to maintain that kind of thing? Well, do you think it's likely to last or not?
Well, let me at least get a word in on my behalf in the start of this story. And that is, the document you refer to, the policies and procedures for the evaluation of faculty and staff, as you will vividly recall, is an imposed document on this institution. Remember, I asked the then Vice President for Academic Affairs to develop over a certain timetable all these procedures and policies. I kept asking for it and asking for it, and I advised them, I said, if it isn't received by a certain date, I will write it myself. No one believed me at that time, so It was not received by a certain date or the completed thing. What I did get was very poor and contributed to a change in leadership. So I went home and sat down and wrote that, what is it, about 50 single pages, overnight. I sat down and wrote it from beginning to end, virtually as you now see it. There was hardly a change made to it. And as you know, the cries of outrage at the institution were heard for miles round. And everyone at that time was saying, how dare you, you know, do this thing? I said, well, now I'll talk to you about it, but no one wanted to do this. And as you know, my belief is that get the thing in writing, put it out there, and let everyone jump on it. So the jumping occurred, and some modifications were made. But I guess it is basically, you know, my document. I think it has held up extremely well. Every court has supported it. Every arbitration hearing has supported it, which infuriates all the people who would like to tear it apart. And people have begun to find, in my opinion, that it's workable. It's demanding, but it's a workable approach to things. And I guess just the habit of doing it has finally made it seem less onerous. But I don't, for the world, think beyond that, you know, underneath that little facade of, well, it's working, it's orderly, the records look nice, that everyone is happy. No, they're very unhappy, and I think not trying to attribute to myself any more influence than, you know, is appropriate. In that area, Bill, I'm quite confident that the pressures, you know, will be relaxed as a consequence of my going. I hear lots of people saying, I have to wait till that guy gets out of here, and then we can, you know, start to work on this document. The first thing that will go will be the students. You know, I think, stand alone in the administration as believing students should be involved in the process. Now, students don't believe that because that man is an ogre. But I'm the only administrator, except Jim Judy. Jim Judy and I are the only ones who really believe that the students should have a major say in the evaluation, whether it be in the student evaluation of teaching, or you'll find this is the only institution in the United States where students have an equal vote with faculty on the review committee. I'm just disappointed that sometimes they don't take full advantage of that. But those two things are, you know, people are poised to pounce on as soon as I'm gone. The first will be the committee. The second will be student evaluation of teaching. The second will be attacked on the basis of, well, let's refer this to a committee to design a new form. And we will have a classic academic committee, and that is 833 years from now, something will dribble out of the end of it. And that will be the end of the student evaluation of teaching, and students will very quickly be off. You know what they're going to get as the trade, which I think is, you know, a hollow, hollow victory. They're going to get a sandbox government offered to them. And so there's already the plan for the trade-off as soon as we can get this nut out of here. And so they will, I think, attack that, which is the most critical. You know, people happen to be the most critical part of it. And the second thing that will be attacked will be the tenure limitations.
What about its survivability? Do you think that...
The tenure limitations?
Yes.
Well, I got a lesson the other day. One of my staff members pointed out, he said, you don't realize the importance of someone being a lightning rod or a point at which all of these criticisms can collect. And that if they don't have a president who is willing to be the collection point for all the criticism, people such as the trustees, for example, who are part-time and unpaid and do it out of a sense of public service, when subjected to a constant stream of cajoling and criticism, and if you have an administration that doesn't want to fight either, it'll change rapidly.
All right. Perhaps we can wrap.
Not a very optimistic picture.
Perhaps we can wrap this session up on that note. Okay. And pick up next time. Thank you.